Hi, everybody. Welcome. Come on in. I am going to change my name. Go ahead and go in the chat. Make sure it's set to everyone. Introduce yourself. Tell me where you're from. Tell me how you're feeling this morning about the call. All right, listen up. You're going to need a few things for this call. You're going to need your planner. You're going to need your habit tracker if you have it. Maybe a weekly plan and assessment. We're going to be talking about what to do when the scale stops moving. And I was thinking about this and I thought, well, what would be really helpful for all of these no BS women? And I think, you know how when you're in math class in school, let's say high school or middle school, whatever, and the math teacher tells you how to do the math problem, and they just send you off to do it. I always found it really helpful if the math teacher modeled how they thought about solving the problem. So that's what my approach is going to be with all of you this morning. I'm going to help you as a coach troubleshoot and diagnose what the issue is, and then figure out from the troubleshooting on the scale how to make a data-driven guess about what's needed when the scale stops moving. All right. So let's see. I'm going to bring Coach Betsy up to help me. She's going to be answering your questions in the Q&A if you have some. And she's also going to be supporting you all in the chat. So she will be typing in all caps and helping you all out. So make sure that you have all of your things. I'm going to keep half an eye on the chat. Here's how the call is going to run. All right, let's everyone just take a deep breath. Check in with your nervous system. I am super nervous right now. Super, super nervous. I always get this way before calls because I want to serve you all in the highest way that I can. And that creates a lot of excitement and nervous energy. Like my little habit brain is like, you got to do a good job. You want to serve these women. You love these women. And I do. I want to serve you at the highest level. So I just need to like take a deep breath. And listen, you guys need to learn this skill too, to modulate your nervous system. Just know it's like normal to have emotions that are challenging or trying. And you have some control over that with like your breathing or just pausing or whatever. So support yourself through the call. We are talking about troubleshooting, which is different than talking about a problem, right? Name of the call is what to do when the scale stops moving. And so for so many of us, we're like, yep, that's a problem. But actually, I always say to my clients, there's two types of weeks in weight loss. The first week is the one in which you lose weight. Your responsibility when that happens is to look at the frequency of the habits, especially the habits around your eating that created that positive result, and use that as a blueprint to keep repeating as much as you possibly can. Okay. The other kind of week that we have in weight loss is the week in which we don't have the result that we want. And in that case, same thing. You got to look through your plans, look through your journals, look through your calendars, look through your data, your habit tracker if you keep it. Okay. And then you look at the frequency of your habits. That's how often you're overeating, in addition to the other three basics. Right? Overeating. How often did I overeat? Does my data make sense with the results I have? And that's the process I'm going to bring you through today. Okay. So if you have everything in front of you, let's get started. Okay. Mindset, right. So when you're troubleshooting results on the scale, you've got to get your mindset right. It's really important that you come to troubleshooting with a clear mind. Think about when you bring your car into the mechanic and you're like, oh my God, it's making this crazy noise. I don't know. It's broken. Blah, 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 blah. Your mechanic isn't like, oh my God, that's such a problem. Your mechanic is like, what kind of noise does it make? When does it happen? See, he's in a diagnostic mindset, or she, right? And so we want to come to diagnosing scale results, like knowing, like, I get to figure this out. This week is trying to tell me what's needed from me. So we take the negative result, we break it down, we look at it with our electron microscope, and we make a data-driven guess. Okay. It will feel hard. Okay. That's point number one. It's supposed to. That feeling of hard, that feeling of frustration that you get when the scale stops moving, it's there for a purpose. Just like my nervousness at the beginning of this call, it's designed to get your attention, to shake you out of your compliance. It's trying to tell you something different is needed. Your job and your responsibility is to figure out what that is. Okay. So all stories of overcoming include this aspect. It's a necessary part of the journey to feel frustration, to have challenges in weight loss. Nobody loses all their weight without challenges. So when you have one, you're just like, all right, I'm in it. I want you to look at when the scale stops moving as a, like we look, okay, let's take the hero's journey in terms of like a Marvel movie or any superhero movie. I love Captain Marvel. Do you guys know that movie? She's my favorite female superhero. You could take any superhero movie, Star Wars, Katniss Everdeen. And what is that movie with Katniss? The Hunger Games. Okay. Take any heroine. So she heeds the call. They all follow the same formula. So does your weight loss. You heed the call. You decide, I want to lose weight. So you pick up your bow and arrow, right? And you go into the arena of weight loss. And every hero's journey has somebody who gives them a special something to help you with your journey. Guess what that is? Does anybody know? Put it in the chat. What is the special mentor in your weight loss journey that's going to help you? I'm not saying it. Your brain, data. Okay, close. Yep, your future self, curiosity, brains and thoughts. No BS. Pam got it. It's no BS. This is like the blueprint for how you get to the end of your journey is the four basics with no BS. Like we give you all of that, right? But you have to take those tools and apply them to your life in whatever you're going through. And this is going to challenge you. We know that no BS is our Obi-Wan. Yes. So your part of the journey is to take your special tools, take your mentor of no BS, your metaphorical mentor, and you're gonna face these challenges. And what so many of us do, if we're gonna continue this analogy of the superhero journey, is that think about when you watch, say, Captain Marvel. You watch her struggling, you watch her getting defeated, you watch her keep going back. And as an audience member, what we do is we're like, come on, you can do it. Like, we just root for her. We don't know what's going to happen. We kind of have a feeling she's going to be successful, but in all of her challenges, like, we just don't know. Like, it seems impossible, right? And this is our job. This is part of the story, is the story of the observation of the struggle. Right? So this is what is missing in so many of the ways that we think about troubleshooting the scale, is that we look at the scale, not doing what we want it to do, and we're not our own best audience for it. We turn in on ourselves and immediately tell ourselves a negative story and indulge in those negative emotions, which is not what they're there for. Those negative emotions are the call for more, the call to cheerlead yourself like an audience member believes in the hero. We root for her. We think she can. And this is such like the secret sauce to getting to your goal weight is applying the right mindset, seeing yourself in the hero's journey, knowing that when the scale doesn't move, this is your call to action. I'm going to show you how I go through it with my clients, okay? So you got to fall in love with your journey, even when the scale stops moving, because you need it. You need to know how to do things differently. So the next thing I want to do with mindset, besides having like that cheering for yourself as the hero, is I'm going to share with you the creed of a no BS woman. I think what I'll do is I will share my screen with you all. Let's see. I'm going to read it for those of you who are going to be watching the replay. This is a nice JPEG. Betsy has the link for you to find this. Cami Walker posted this in the Facebook group, and it's a nice, like I said, a photo of the creed of a no BS woman. You can find this pinned to the features of the no BS Facebook group, the member Facebook group. Okay. Now, this is when you go to troubleshoot the scale, I want you to read through this. This will get your mindset in the right place. So the first is a commitment to the process. I will make my weight loss a priority because I'm ready to lose weight for good. And then you just confirm it in your mind. Yeah. I will try things that may not feel comfortable. And when I fuck up, I will make the next best decision. I will do my best to keep showing up, and I will reach out to other no BS women when I feel stuck. I will use the no BS resources and actually do shit with them. The second big heading under this is the commitment to yourself. I will show up for myself no matter what. I will tell myself the truth, even when it feels like shit. I will own my results, knowing I'm the only one who puts my hand to my mouth. I will not walk away from dreams until they are fulfilled. Powerful, right? Third one, commitment to the community. I will be open and honest with my struggles, successes, and fears. I will remember that taking care of myself is the priority, so I can show up fully for the community. I will not post a damn thing in the community until I make a plan for the day. I will consider deepening my connection to the community by exploring subgroups and accountability groups. Y'all, if you're not in an accountability group, I want you to email. I want you to go to Betsy. Maybe you can find that link for them. Find an accountability group. I don't give a shit if you've already been in 10 and it hasn't worked. You keep trying. This is your commitment to the process. Y'all need community. You need people to help you through this process. It's so important. It makes it so much easier. I will respect our no BS culture by allowing others to think, feel, and do for themselves and by not being an asshole. And I will practice compassion for other no BS women as I practice compassion for myself. That's that audience, that cheerleading, falling in love with your journey. Okay. Thank you, Betsy. It's in the chat if you want accountability. All right. So I'm going to stop sharing. So now we're at a place where we've got your mindset right. And now I'm going to share with you how to diagnose and learn what's needed from unwanted scale results. You ready? You might want to take some notes. So grab your pen. Okay. So when I start a session with a client, I ask them to tell me what their numbers are for the week. What's your weight? And I expect them to bring to me the data for the week. How often they got their water in, how many times out of 7 they got their sleep, how many times out of 7 they planned and assessed, How many times out of seven did they follow doable hunger? So there's all numbers there. And then I asked them, tell me the story of this week's scale results, because I want to see how they're thinking about the data, because I can help them with that. And so that's what we're doing today. Okay. So for all of you, if you're troubleshooting, I want you to put your result down. So give me the numbers. And if you, any of you want to get coached today, I want you to bring your numbers. You don't have to keep a data tracker to give me numbers. So flip through your week and tell, go look. How many times did you overeat? Usually I express that in terms of, you know, let's say 2 days out of seven, 3 days out of seven, 4 days out of seven, whatever it is, get your number. That's the most important one. The frequency of your overeats from one weigh-in date to another. That's very different than saying I'm not losing weight. You see, one's a story, which is just a story that's not rooted in data. Okay, so you get your numbers, put them down. While you're getting your numbers, I don't want you lying to yourself about what an overeat is and what it isn't. Remember the creed of an obese woman? I will not tell myself lies. If you are eating food without physical hunger present, it's an overeat. Most snacking, from what I can tell, is an overeat. Unless you're really good at dialing in your hunger, you know, really look at those snacking. Most eating after dinner, if it's within an hour or two, overeats. Waking up in the middle of the night, feeling like you want to have something to go back to sleep without physical hunger there, that's an overeat. Okay, so get your number. Okay. I'm bringing the fire, you guys. All right. Find data first, not stories. I want numbers to drive the guess about what's happening. Okay. Now, step two, ask, does the scale data, whether you lost, maintained, or gained, does it make sense with the data that you have there? Tell me your conclusion in the chat. Does it make sense? Doesn't it? Or are you not sure? Yes, it makes sense. Okay, yes, it does. Yes, it makes sense. Data doesn't lie. Sometimes it can be a little bit mysterious, and you know, we can work through that for sure. Yes, it makes sense. I haven't seen one no yet. No, it doesn't make sense. Okay, who is that? Let me catch you. Nancy D. Maybe you can raise your hand and we'll go through it. Okay. When it's time, I'm going to finish up here shortly and then I'm going to coach. Okay. So for those of you that it makes sense, here's what you do now. The number of overeats, this one part of the four basics, number of overeats that makes sense with scale results that you don't like. This is how you understand what doesn't work. So you say, let's say, for example, you had 4 days out of seven that you had overeats. So you know that if you want to start losing weight, you need to bring that number smaller, right? You have to stop overeating so much. Maybe it's three times, maybe it's two times. Okay. I don't really know anybody who has to be perfect in all the people I've coached in all my years. No one has had to eat perfectly in a week to lose weight. So, I mean, it's not a mystery. You usually have to keep your overeats between 2 to 4. Some people, if it's just one bite over, they're overeating. They can do it as much as 5 times, but it depends on how much you're overeating, right? So like, what kind of an overeater are you? If you're a binger and you're eating a lot of extra food, yeah, maybe that's just your one big overeat that could interrupt your results. You know, it depends on the amount of your overeating and all of that. No, no one can see viewers here today. Not until I bring somebody up and you would volunteer for that. Okay. So now we need to find what does work. So you know your number of what doesn't work. Now you're going to go back into your data and all of that. And you can do two things, two different things. You can either, if you're not sure what to do to get results, like you just know what doesn't work now, right? So the question is, okay, well, what will work? And we also want to find a data-driven guess, best guess about what will work. And so we have two ways of doing that. One way is if you have a week that you, or several weeks where you know you were losing weight, you can go back into your data, go back into your plans, look at those weeks and look at how often you were overeating in those weeks, along with your other four basics, of course, and try to like replicate that. Use those numbers as a guide for what to shoot for. Does that make sense? Okay. If you have any questions about this, you're going to raise your hand, okay? Or put it in the Q&A. So, or the other way you can do it, let's say you don't have a week in which, you know, like you have good data for weeks in which you lost weight. Well, number one, it proves the point that you need to be keeping data, just at least minimum data, which means at the end of each day, just write down if you had an overeat on your plan. Write it in red and just keep track of it as you go. That's like the simplest way to do it. Okay. No, eating off plan is eating off plan. That's not overeating. That's just, I didn't eat what I said I was going to eat, but you can eat off plan with doable hunger. You can eat something you didn't plan with hunger and stop it enough. So eating off plan is not necessarily going to mean that that's responsible for scale results that you don't like. It just means you're not following your plan. You see? Okay, that's why I say overeating is the primary one that will give you your results, your best indicator of your results. Okay? So let's go back. So if you don't have a good template somewhere in the history of your keeping data with no BS that shows you like weeks you lost weight and what you did, then you can just create you can guess at what you think would give you the results you want based on what you know doesn't work. So let's go back to the example. Let's say you overate 4 out of 7 days. And you're like, all right, well, how often do I think I can overeat and lose weight? I know it has to be less than 4. And I know it doesn't have to be perfect. So you're going to experiment with 3 or 2 or 1. Now, if you're at 4 right now and you kind of tend to do that, I would not suggest going to 1. Just bring it down to 3. That makes it doable. You see? So you got to gut check it. Like, do I think I can do this frequency that's a little bit better than what I've been doing? Okay. That's your hypothesis. That's your data-driven best guess about how often you can follow doable hunger that will give you the weight loss that you're looking for. Okay. So from that, write down your hypothesis now. Okay. Yes. So in the chat, somebody's talking about like tracking the frequency of their overeatings by actual meal. So in that case, it would be like if you eat 3 times a day, that would be how many meals did you overeat divided by 21? So 7 times 3 meals a day is 21 meals. You can do it that way too. It's totally fine. Whatever's easiest for you. Okay. Now you have to apply it. I've given you the tools, right? For how to strategize when the scale stops moving. This is how you make the data-driven best guess. And now you've got to like apply it. So here's how I do it. There's a million ways to do it. But what I do is I know that my blueprint number, that's what I call it, the number of overeats that I know I need to keep my overeating to in order to expect like with good data, weight loss, is to keep my overeats to less than 3. So that's two times. I can overeat and still expect weight loss. Okay, so make your guess, and then your job is to test it out this week. Data-driven guess and test it out. Now, there's a way to put that play into action in a way that's strategic. So you're not just going to say like, okay, I know I need to overeat. Maybe like I'm going to go for 3 days, like maximum 3 days or less this week. And then you just forget about it. If you don't keep track of it, like that's going to be hard to implement. So you want to keep that number front of mind. So here's what I do, like the easiest way is I just, as I go each day and I make my plan, I bring over the number of my overeats to that day. So I weigh in on Sunday. Let's say I overeat on Sunday. I would write one OE, one overeat, the first one. I would circle it and I would bring it over to Monday. So when I make Monday's plan and I get ready for the day and I'm thinking about my day, I know I've already had one overeat. And if I want to lose weight this week, for me, I really can only afford one more overeat. So that day, if I'm tempted to overeat, I'm going to be like, do I really want to have my two overeats in the first 2 days of my weight week? Probably not. So that'd be motivating for me. I'm like, no, I'm not overeating today. Maybe Friday when I have pizza and I like to have an extra slice, that will be my overeat. Okay. And so you don't have to keep like a really complicated tracker unless you want to, like just write it down. Excuse me, keep it front of mind so that you can apply your strategy top of mind every day. Okay. So I hope that helps you. That's what I do with my clients. One more thing I'm going to mention, and you'll see this in the coaching that we do. If you want to get coached, go ahead and put your hands up. Raise your hand if you want to get coached. On an overeating day, when you're looking through what happened that day, I want you to also think back like a movie to that day. Jog your memory about the emotional weather of the day that accompanied your overeating. Now, maybe there's something there, maybe there isn't. But a lot of times, knowing how your emotions, if they're like bringing you above or below home base, if you're jacked up or you're not feeling right, like, or you have challenging emotions, you have anxiety, you had a hard day at work, whatever it is, that can affect the process of you following doable hunger. So if you know, like, let's say you're a teenage child is going through a hard time and your interactions with them lately are troublesome. And you know, when that happens, you tend to overeat. I want you to make a plan for how to take care of yourself when you're feeling this way so that you can help yourself through the day. Like, think about a football team. Like when they play a game against their opponent and they know their opponent's team has a very strong defensive line, they're going to make sure that they come to each play anticipating that happening so that they can have a successful result. Okay. So that can really, really help you. For those of us who have emotional overeats, it's like you want to help yourself with the emotions using the tools that we have in No BS. Okay. All right. Let's do some coaching. Terry, I'm going to bring you up. Okay, she's coming. Is she coming? Maybe she put her hand down. Oh, there nope. She is.
I'm here. I've never done this before. Thanks for taking me.
Hi, Terry. Welcome. Hi there.
Thank you.
All right, just take a deep breath. Are you okay? Are you nervous?
A little, not too bad.
Okay. All right. So tell me what's happening with your scale and how what I've been talking about has landed with you.
So I started No BS in July, and my scale just stays the same.
Okay. All right. So what does the data say? Did you go through your week this week?
Yeah, I drink water enough every day. I sleep good every night. I just recently started the 2 bites left behind because Betsy is my coach and we talked about you might just be eating too much. I don't physically feel that, but I'm giving it a whirl to try for that.
Okay. So when you say water and sleep, I just want to check this. This is the part where we can kind of like, we can tell ourselves stories instead of actual data. Are you measuring the water that you drink?
Yeah, I have a water bottle that's 32 ounces. And on my tracker, I keep tick marks of how much I drink and when I take my vitamins and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then in November, I started using a CPAP. And so on that, I don't have any control over, but it shows me how long did you use this night? So I can tell that I legit used it.
Awesome. Awesome job. Okay. That's great. We can just take those off the table. You just want to set those on rinse and repeat every week to support you. So I assume you're planning and assessing every day too?
Yep.
Okay. That's what I love to hear. Okay. So we're zoning in on doable hunger. So how often do you eat in a day? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks? Do you snack at night? What's going on?
Breakfast, lunch, dinner for sure. It's hit or miss on snacks in the morning. It depends on if I'm working out or things like that. I think my nemesis is I want an apple and peanut butter before I go to bed sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you physically hungry for apple and peanut butter?
I feel like I am. That's what's so tricky about it.
Okay. So I want you to see this. All right, everybody, do you hear what she just said? I feel like I am hungry. So coaches know that when people say, I feel like da, 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 that's their thought.
Okay.
That's what you're thinking. I think I'm hungry. Does that mean that you're actually physiologically hungry in your body?
Sometimes. And then sometimes it's just comfort, maybe. Or like, it's just a habit. I had 4 kids in 5 years, so life was super busy. So that was like the, they're finally all in bed time.
Yes, I understand. I do. So first thing is that no one is taking away your apple and peanut butter at all. That's your choice. But if you choose it when you're not physically hungry, you're choosing an overeat.
Oh, okay.
That is going to interfere with your weight loss results. Okay. Now, if you want to keep the apple and peanut butter, but you're like, well, when am I going to have it? Because I think I'm mostly not hungry for it.
I'm trying the lunchtime.
Yeah, you could do that. That's what I was going to say. Just plan it for your lunch or dinner. Put it on your plate or put it on a side plate. And then when you go to meet your meal, you get to say, okay, there's all this food and I have this much space. So this is the velvet rope, right? Like, which things do I want the most? Because I only have so much capacity until I'm at enough. Okay. So this helps your brain see, like, I get to have the best things I want until I'm satisfied. Nothing is off the plate, right? So to speak. So you choose the best things.
So I'm eating breakfast while you're talking. All of a sudden I noticed, I ate and then I drank some water and then it was a funny feeling in my stomach, like almost like a clunk where it was like, oh, I'm kind of full.
Yeah.
And so now I have,
is that the feeling you think of the food dropping into your stomach or do you think it's the food like taking up space in your stomach? The clunk.
Maybe taking up space. And then I was like, maybe I'll throw the rest of my stuff in a bag. Or I had some nuts and a cut up date. So they were like snackyable, and I'll just put them in a baggie and save them till later if I need them or want them. So
if you're hungry, yeah. Yeah. So I would say a good data-driven guess for this is when you feel the clunk and you think maybe I'm at enough, just turn that into a sentence. When I feel the clunk, that is my cue. I'm at enough. So I'm always going to look for the clunk.
I wasn't sure if it was the actual food or if it's the, I took a drink of water and that filled my stomach.
Right. Well, either way, you're at enough.
Okay.
So you get to determine what makes you at enough, right? Like we could fill it full of water and then we're not sure like, oh, I could have had some food in that space.
Yeah.
You can put food in there and just wait to drink your water. Or even better, drink your water half an hour before your meal. Then you know you're properly hydrated and you don't have to have water with your meal.
Oh, okay.
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 So with that in mind, with the apple and peanut butter, what I'm going to tell you is go back over your data and truly count the overeats. Look at the number.
Okay.
And your blueprint for success is to overeat less than that.
Okay.
The only way you're going to figure this out is if you make that happen. So let's say it's 5 times and the scale's not moving. Your job this week is to bring it to 4.
Okay.
And you got to be willing to be Captain Marvel in that moment and feel like you're peeling your skin off, as Corinne says.
Yeah.
Like it's a moment of deep discomfort because your brain, like after dinner, is going to want that little dopamine hit of the peanut butter and what you make it mean, your ability to relax.
Well, the reason I gained a bunch of weight is because like, I had panic attacks really, really bad. And I thought I had low blood sugar, so I ate food.
So knowing what you know now, in retrospect, was it low blood sugar?
No. It was probably a panic attack, yeah. So I still have that little scared feeling of...
Of course. Mm-hmm. Panic attacks are like a little mini trauma response in the body, right? It's thinking that is so like fight or flight-ish to your body that your body literally thinks you're being chased by a lion.
Yeah. I couldn't walk across my kitchen.
Of course, yeah. But you know that like that time now is over. And so the best scent, the peanut butter and apple can never help you feel better in those moments when you're worried, right? About it. Your thoughts can though. You can say, look, I'm okay. It's not my blood sugar. I just need to connect with me right now. You can put your hand on your heart. You can do your breathing. You can just tell yourself, be that audience cheering for you as the hero of your journey, someone who's overcome panic attacks and a really tough time in her life. Now, and taking away the apple and the peanut butter is kind of like taking away a blanket, right? But this is the cost of transformation. Do you want to leave this part behind where you feel like you need the apple and peanut butter? Are you willing?
Yeah. I mean, there's reasons why I had panic attacks. So it's a lot of trauma from being little. And so the cheerleading part is really hard for me because I've never had anybody cheerlead me.
Yeah.
So I didn't really learn how to do it. So.
Yeah. And this is where like everyone
on here. She's cheering.
Sorry. Say again. I didn't hear you.
I just joined with a gal named Kelly and she's on here and she encouraged me. So
I'm so glad. And this is why I said community is so important. Accountability groups is so important because the people who we are in community with will show us what's possible because we get caught in those loops of thinking about our limits about what's possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, little T trauma, I don't know what kind of trauma this is for you, but we always have the opportunity to get into a healing relationship with that part of ourselves. And we can use the arena of weight loss to do it. And this is why I love coaching on weight. You know, I know, and I'm just going to leave you with this, that you have a beautiful human brain that you can learn to have habits to support yourself, to tell yourself the new and true story about why you're okay and why you can do all of this.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Thank you for volunteering.
Thank you so much.
All right. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. All right. We're going to go to the next. Robin. Robin MC Mick. All right. That was amazing. Yeah, Terry was amazing. Okay, here she comes. I'm going to take some water. Everybody drink water.
Hi.
Hi, Robin.
I was like, oh shit, that's me.
Okay, just take a deep breath. Take some water. You're in a safe space. Okay, we're here to help. All right. So I assume the scale's not moving.
So yeah, I was talking with my accountability group about this because they're awesome. And I was feeling frustrated. I mean, it's moving, but it's moving very little.
Okay.
Not what I anticipated it should.
Okay.
So yeah, I was feeling frustrated. And so mm-hmm. I kind of reached out and I said, you know what, I'm going to start sharing, like, not only, because what we do is we share our morning plans, like either in, we have our own little private Facebook messenger and nice. Facebook group. So we share our morning plans that we've mm-hmm. made them basically. And then yeah, not everybody shares their evening plan, right? And I said, I think I'm going to start sharing, like, for comparison, what I've eaten and what I had planned to eat and see.
So if more like an assessment of what actually happened based on what you planned.
Yeah, sorry, I meant my assessment. I'm just not using the right terminology. Because I honestly feel like I've been eating very little. And I've been being very strict with myself. And yet, like last week, I weigh in on Sundays. My scale was 1 pound. And
so you lost 1 pound?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
And the week before that, let me pull it up. Because, yeah, it's just, I've been very, the week before that was 2.8, but
so you lost 2.8 the week before. Okay.
Yeah. And the week before that I had a 3 pound gain.
Okay.
Which was weird. And the very first week, like the very start of the new year, the first weekend, so January 8th, I guess, mm-hmm. was a loss of 4.2. So I was like super jazzed about that and thinking, mm-hmm. okay, I'm well on my way. This is good. And then I feel like, you know, then the next week was 3 pound gain and then just incremental losses.
Okay. And can someone in the chat do some math for me, please? Can you, someone in the chat do -1 plus -2.8 plus 3 minus 4.2 and tell me what the net result is of her gain, her 3 losses plus 1 gain.
I get 5.
-5.
Yeah.
You know what's so interesting that you are on a call for when the scale doesn't move. Coming here with a net loss of 5 pounds for the month of January. And your thought about it is what?
That, well, my goal was 2 pounds a week.
No, I didn't ask you that. Stay with me.
But my
what is your thought?
It's not moving to
is
what
that true?
My expectations.
Okay, so the world should work according to your expectations.
Yeah, I guess.
Is that really what we're thinking about our human life?
I just feel like I'm being really strict in doing all the things. And when I saw that first week, what had happened was that really had me motivated that, you know, I'm going to be able to lose X amount of weight in X amount of time. And then it feels like even that week that it was a 3-pound gain, it didn't make any sense on my habit tracker and on my food journaling and stuff.
Right. Because you didn't do the process that I just went over on the call. You didn't do a data-driven process to explain your scale results. And I'm just going to give you a window of insight. You gained 3 pounds because you overate that week.
I didn't, though. I underate. I barely ate what was on my plan.
Okay. How many times did you overeat that week? Do you have the data?
I have zero. Like I literally was waiting for hunger on everything. And
okay.
I planned, you know, 3 meals a day and a possible snack. And I ate maybe 2 meals a day. And sometimes I snacked, and sometimes that snack consisted of broth. Like, okay. Because in the evening I like to have, I'm a salty, savory person, not a sweet person. So sometimes tea is not what I'm craving. It's like something salty. So okay. I have broth because then I'm not going to reach for, like potato chips or something like that. If I get that salty craving fixed.
But you're having the broth with physical hunger?
Well, sometimes I feel like I'm just feeling, cause I'm so used to in the past being snacky in the evening, and, I tend to stay up quite late.
Okay.
So I thought I'll drink more water and then I'll have the broth. And if that satisfies, then I know that it wasn't a physical hunger. It was more a craving. So I've been really being strict with myself about like, is it the craving for something salty and something snacky? And, you know, so I've been using that
so
as
so well. I'm going to point out your work for you. So your work for you is to differentiate between a thought to eat and a physiological symptom of physical hunger. Do you know what your physical hunger symptoms are?
Well, I mean, I usually will wait until my stomach is physically growling before I have an actual meal.
Okay. What about the broth? Did you have that with physical hunger?
That's where it's for the longest time been my evening routine to have, you know, salty, snacky foods.
Okay.
And because I stay up so late, if I stop.
Okay. So, but I want to just stop you here.
Okay.
So I want to point out an inconsistency in what you're saying. So week three with the 3 pound gain, you said I never overate.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also telling me you were having the broth when you weren't hungry. Am I hearing you right?
I was having the broth when I have an urge to eat in the evening sometimes.
Yeah, so we never eat.
Stomach growling.
Okay. But do you see how you're holding on to this? You're holding on tight. You're fighting me. I'm telling you as a coach, you're overeating if you eat anything without physical hunger present. So you're saying I have a thought to eat and that's my habit. So I'm going to indulge it. And then you're minimizing that and you're saying I'm eating according to doable hunger. It's just a lie.
Okay.
So that could explain the 3 pounds. Maybe there's other things there. You know, you could look. The honesty about doable hunger is really, really key. Okay. And that's best news, because if we don't dig in here to the truth and we just keep telling ourselves a story about the mystery of weight gains, then the brain's like, well, it's us. It's not really working. It's very inconsistent. It's just like my weight loss. I don't know how it's going to happen. And that's the worst story we could tell, because then we doubt. And then we're not being the cheerleader to our heroine in the story. This is the best news for you, Robin, because you're like, okay, I had some overeating in there that I was minimizing. So if I can work on that part, then I can get much more consistent results. And here's what I want to leave you with. You're like, so when I work with my clients, I say, the first thing with troubleshooting, I want you to pretend like you're an airline pilot who's flying the plane. The first thing you ask yourself is this plane flying? Right? They're going to make sure before they do any troubleshooting that the dashboard is lighting up, there's alarms going off. The pilot says, is this plane flying? And in weight loss, we just take the monthly result. You lost 5 pounds in January. Much of what you're doing is working. Not only is it's working really well. Those weeks that you lost weight, you got above average results. So we know that much of what you're doing is working. We just got to clean up that little bit of nighttime eating and really stay honest about our overeats. Okay.
Okay.
How are you feeling? Are you mad?
No, I'm frustrated because like broth being called an overeat is fine. That's fine. I can follow your logic there, but like mm-hmm. literally what I'm eating in the day is so little. Like I'll do, and I'm a creature of habit, and right now I'm off on disability. So my food is like practically exactly the same thing every day. Okay. My plan is like breakfast. I have my coffee with my MCT oil and my collagen. Mm-hmm. I have late in the day, like 11, 12 o'clock, I have 2 scrambled eggs with cheese. And then okay. I have, whenever I feel hungry for my next meal, I usually have peppers, like red peppers or whatever, cut up with a dip and some cheese on the side. I tend to eat keto. I had lap band years ago. And okay. so I go for protein first and then veggies. And then I pretty much never have starches, like for the most okay, part.
That's fine.
And then if I'm still hungry later in the day, I have a salad plant, like a chicken Caesar salad or something.
Okay.
Most of the time I don't eat that chicken Caesar salad. And so I think my broth in the evening, whether I'm legitimate hungry or not.
Yeah. Like, here's what I would focus on. I would focus on for you is developing a sense of satisfaction with the food that you are eating. Now, on the weeks that you've lost, you lose quite a bit. 4.2 is a lot for a week.
That was a lot. I was like,
it was a big, so that tells me you may not be eating enough. Like, in other words, you could do that, but is it so too hard? Because your brain is like, this is not enough food. Like, I'm just barely even satisfied. Like, so have a few more bites and see if you can get to a rate of loss that is maybe less significant, but more repeatable, more sustainable.
That is what one of my my AGs, as I call them, my accountability group said, is that maybe I'm not eating enough because
it sounds to me like you're an over desire because, you know, the brain notices the little amounts. So I want you to really focus on, I'm going to give you a couple tips before we go here.
Okay.
So here's how you can increase your emotional satisfaction. So again, just like hunger, there's like a thought to eat, and then there's physical signs of hunger. It's the same with eating to enough. So there's creating emotional satisfaction from your eating experience by how you think about what you're eating. And then there's the physical feedback from your stomach that you are at enough. Those are two different things. Mm-hmm. So to have you like really feel good about stopping at enough, you can do some things. Here's some examples. Put it on a pretty plate. Don't serve yourself a stingy portion. I know that sounds heretical. You can, if portion size is an issue for you and your brain is very suspicious that you're underfeeding it, put more on your plate. And then you take responsibility for saying, I can choose to eat all this, but here's why I want to stop it enough. And then the visual part of seeing your food is very abundant. And then you can think things like, look at all this beautiful food. I love what I made myself. Like, this is going to taste so good. you could serve yourself with a cloth napkin. One thing I do is I ask, you know, before Queen Elizabeth passed, I used to say, pretend you're Queen Elizabeth having your meal. Like, do you think that she feels like there's not enough and this isn't enough? I'm like, no, she's like, I'm being served, right? Like, I'm here to enjoy this because I am the queen, right? I use nice silverware. I use a nice napkin. I wonder, you could say to your brain, I wonder which bite will be the perfect bite to keep me satisfied. And then your brain's like, all right, I'll tell you which bite that is. See, you're using your brain to help you with that. And then, of course, savoring each bite can really help you too. So what I like to do is I like to eat European style with my fork. Like normally in America, we use it like a shovel. And we know like Europeans, they don't eat as fast and they don't tend to eat as much as Americans. I think it's a lot to do with that fork tine turned down. So it's like a piercer. It takes a smaller amount of food on the fork. And it just feels like we get to savor a smaller amount in the mouth. And we get to like pause with how good it tastes and how, you know, you're liking the experience. I mean, how is that all resonating for you?
Yeah, I tend to, I like the ideas and I've written down a lot of ideas in the past for like how to slow down and stuff. Obviously, having had the band, I hit my enough very quickly.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
And I have learned how to recognize that. Like I get a definitive spy.
Good.
I'm trying to eat slower. So I recognize that before I'm already past my enough because it's really easy to hit that kind of thing. And my eyes are still always bigger than my stomach. Even after years, I still tend to give myself a larger portion than what I can actually eat in one sitting.
Yeah. It sounds to me like you're pretty good at like differentiating and discerning like when to stop, even though you have more on your plate. Yeah.
I think another thing that I'm just realizing that I do is like I'll hit enough. So I'll put it aside.
Yeah.
But then when I'm not hitting that threshold, I'll pick it back up and finish it.
What do you mean I'm not hitting that threshold? What does that mean?
Like for me, it's like it's like if I know that if I eat anything more, I'll be stuck. Like because it like
doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It okay.
Good physically.
So, okay. Break this down for me. So you're eating and then you have this sense, like I'm right there. If I have more, it's not going to be good for me. And then what happens?
Well, then I'll put it aside and I'll go be doing things. And then because the portion, the meal has not been completed, I'll go back and finish it.
Okay. So here you got to tell yourself the new and true story. You have to tell yourself the honest story about your habit, which is I don't close down mealtime when I'm at enough, when I set my meal aside. I give myself permissive feelings to come back and eat more as soon as the food is sort of like, you know, like accommodated itself into my stomach. And so you're leaving the door open for overeating. That's exactly what you're doing.
I think so. I think that's very true. And
you can just say like, I just shut the door on the meal knowing when I'm physically hungry again, I can eat and I will take care of myself. Okay. So for you, I want you to really watch your thoughts about feeling restricted, feeling like you're not eating enough and know you are the queen of you. You are the keeper of the velvet rope. Okay, you get to your work is to find discernment. You're already losing weight. You already know how to lose weight. You just need to do it in a way that feels more sustainable to you and more doable. I have no doubt you're going to lose all of your weight.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. You're so welcome. All right. I'm going to bring you back down.
Okay.
Okay, everybody. That was amazing. Thank you so much, Robin. We are right at the top of the hour. I want to thank every one of you for coming here and really like looking at how to troubleshoot when the scale stops moving. Remember that your job is to make a data-driven hypothesis based on what didn't work and experiment with it this week to see if it will work. Be proactive, be strategic, and above all, be a cheerleader for the hero that is you who's on this journey. Thank you, Betsy, for supporting everybody in the call and being so amazing. If your question didn't get answered, go over to Ask Coaches and we'll help you out with that. Thanks, everybody. Bye.